Perek Aleph. We gave the introduction last week, just a little introduction, you know, a short little one that goes through. Let's go through over here. So, Dibrei Yirmiyahu ben Hilkiyahu min HaKohanim asher ba'anasos be'eretz Binyamin. We got a lot of information over here. These are the words of Yirmiyahu, the son of Hilkiyahu, from the Kohanim that lived in the city of Anasos in the land of Binyamin. Okay, first thing, Yirmiyahu was a Kohen, so therefore he had no official land, right? Because he was just like any of the Levim and the Kohanim that they got to live all over Eretz Yisrael, right? That's number one. Number two, Dibrei, right, always refers to a word of Musar, something that was a little bit more harsh. Instead of Amira, a saying, this is a Devarim, right, which is a little bit more, this is referring to the Musar there was. Yirmiyahu's Sefer is entirely about rebuke. Although there is Nechama, consolation, that is given throughout the entire Sefer, nonetheless, mostly it is going against the Jewish people in a very, very strong way. That's more. Number two, he was a famous man. Yirmiyahu was the son of Hilkiyahu. Hilkiyahu is the one that back in the day, right, by the times of Yoshia, he had found the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a Kohen Gadol Hilkiyahu. He was the one that found it, at least according to some portion. This is his father. And he'd gone all the way through. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know who was the Kohen Gadol after
Hilkiyahu. It wasn't like the...
No, we have a list of the Kohen Gadolim that existed. It's in Yuma and Tosfos and Daf Tess, whatever it was. I don't remember offhand. But Yirmiyahu is not mentioned there. I'm sorry?
Who hid the Luchos?
Yoshia is the one that did it after they found the Sefer Torah. So Hilkiyahu was involved in all that. So it's not like we're talking about a person who had not known. Hilkiyahu himself was a Nubi.
Did Yirmiyahu have an older brother who took over the Kohen Gadolim?
Not that we know of. But again, we don't know. There is someone. I just don't remember what his name is offhand. It's the last one. Right? But that's that. The other thing that we have over here is that he lived in Anasos. Anasos is going to be the name of the city that hated Yirmiyahu and was literally throwing him down. So we see that Yirmiyahu did not show any favor to anyone, even his own home city. So we're writing that specifically in the beginning. There you go. Throughout Binyamin, which would have meant, right above the Yerushalayim. Is it right there?
Yeah.
Historically, it's right there. Interesting. So that would be right around there. It would have been right around there. So that's the number one. It just shows you that Yirmiyahu was well qualified to fulfill this task as being the prophet as well as the guy in charge of what's going to be over here. Okay, so that's what we're doing over here. We also have to know that Dibrei can also mean that it was not specifically his own words. He was able to speak to them so severely because he was literally taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words out of his mouth, right, and putting it over here. There is nothing over here. Yirmiyahu was not like the typical nice guy, you know, that type of thing, or good cop, bad cop type of thing. He was only bad cop. He did not mince his words. He had extreme harshness. He wanted to jar his listeners to listen to him completely. That was the idea. And you got to remember, he's addressing people who had strayed from the path so fully that they were very strongly against him and against everything there was.
The Nevi'im and the Triassar who were his contemporaries?
We said there were the three that we mentioned last week. It was, give me one second, it was Yoel, Nahum, Habakkuk, and obviously toward the end, Yechezkel, who went to Babel, and most of the others left early. You're right, but meaning it was going, when they went to Babel, at the same time that Yirmiyahu was in Eretz Yisrael, Yechezkel was in Babel. So too, around the same time, you had Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Mordechai.
Their
Nebuahs were later, but they all lived at around the same time as Yirmiyahu. Was there a Navi that people went to?
Could go to and be like, listen, man, Yirmiyahu is really like...
There were a lot of false prophets out there.
Are they all rolling on the same level? Or is Yirmiyahu like the top...
I don't want to say like a top. There was nobody, but Yirmiyahu was. They all had different jobs.
Yeah.
They all had different jobs. Let's call it that way. Well, Yirmiyahu's job was to really, to make the people.
I don't know. It was discussed in the introduction last week. Mm-hmm. Was this all one episode, or is this multiple episodes?
Multiple. We're going to see that there are many, many times where Yirmiyahu is speaking. Many times that's going on.
Was just like the whole Sefer one episode.
No. Yeah. We're going to see. It's going to stop, and hopefully I'll be able to say there are two stoppages that we're going to show over here where a Nebuah started again, something else came involved. You just know he was the Rosh Mishmar. He was the Rosh Mishmar over there, a couple. And then he was also from Rachav. He was from Rachav over here. So that is that. Here we go. Asher Yedavar Hashem Elov. The word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was by him, Bimei Yoshio Ben Amon, during the days of Yoshia. This is the first of his Nebuahs, during the days of Yoshia Melech Yudah, B'Shloshes Rei Shana L'Malchu. His first Nebuah was in the 13th year of Yoshia's reign. That's what happened over here. Now, during King Yoshia's time, there were three Nevi'im. Yirmiyahu, who spoke to the people who were in the Shuk. Tzfanya, who spoke to the Talmidei Chachamim who were in the Shoals. And Chulda, who prophesied to all the women. Each one of them had a job. Chulda was the niece of Yirmiyahu, and when Yoshiyahu wanted a Nevuah translated that would be good for him, he went to Chulda instead of Yirmiyahu. That's what he ended up doing. Again, think about that. He was going to the Shuk. He's not going for the good guys. He's going for the bad people who are in the Shuk, who are not doing anything, who had no shaykhis to learning Torah, etc. That was the people that Yirmiyahu was getting involved with. During the days of Yoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, Melech Yudah, Ad Tom Ashtayas Reshon L'Tzidkiyahu. So he continued on during the days of Yoyakim. He went all the way until the end of the 11 years of Tzidkiyahu ben Yoshiyahu, Melech Yudah, Ad Glos Yerushalayim b'Chodesh HaChamishi, until Yerushalayim was exiled in the fifth month that obviously is Av. So that's just the introduction of when Yirmiyahu spoke. Whether or not that was written, whether that was written by Yirmiyahu or not, I don't know. I don't know if this part was written by Yirmiyahu. He certainly was alive when the Beis HaMikdash was finally destroyed. After all, he told the people what to do after Gedaliah ben Achikam became, you know, the governor.
He edited the book.
But it could be. I mean, it seems like it wasn't edited, because you would have said he prophesied until the end of Gedaliah, or until the Jews had all left Israel.
Well,
but here it says up until
Tzidkiyahu.
No, he continued prophesying in Yerushalayim by Gedaliah. That was the Nevuah of don't go down to Egypt. That was a famous one over there. So either way, if we go all the way through, Yirmiyahu prophesied for at least 41 years. At least 41 years, right? And that's interesting, because that also is the same amount of time that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied for. We are going to see very many similarities between Yirmiyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll have to keep our eyes out for it.
But Moshe commanded almost everyone's respect.
The exact opposite, so to speak.
And like the minute he stood up, they got swallowed.
Not only that, when was the only time that Moshe Rabbeinu ever gave rebuke to the people? It was only the last 36 days of his life. Eila Hadvarim, Eila, the 36 days from Rosh Chodesh Shvat until Zayin Adar that he spoke to the people. Yeah.
Shimon HaMordim.
There's no question there was a line here or there, but the real muster that Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, which is Sefer Devarim, was not told until the last 36 days of his life.
The Torah, but if there was all those years in the desert where nothing's recorded, so we don't know what.
You'd assume
Moshe Rabbeinu only spoke for the Torah.
You can make this assumption easily. When we see that, when we see that the words of the Torah are clearly knocking down Bnei Yisrael time after time after time again, if there was a complaint, it would have been mentioned. We see all the complaints that are mentioned. We see nothing about Bnei Yisrael being good. We don't see that. So it seems that those are the ones that are mentioned constantly in the 38 years, whereas right in the middle will be a little bit different.
Yeah, like you just said, who's compared to a lot of similarities. Not anybody else, right?
Well, we said that Gidon was also compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. They say that there was a connection through the neshamos of Gidon to Moshe Rabbeinu. We talked about that before, about Gidon having all this, saying the word Ehayah, asking for signs, right, taking the people. There was a lot of different things, and then saying that he didn't want to go out in the first place. Okay, so here we go. Pasuk Dalet, Ayidvar Shem Elai Leimor. The word of God came to me, saying, "Beterem etzor chaba batan yidatiha." I knew you before you were even formed in the womb. Beterem ketzim rechem, before you came out from the womb. I already made you holy, and I made you a prophet over all the nations, not only for the Jews, but even for the nations themselves. Yirmiyahu's parents were unbelievably kadosh people who avoided impurity, tuma things completely, and maintained that high degree of holiness, right, in which Yirmiyahu was born, or I should say conceived, in a measure of tremendous kedusha, which meant that he himself had no real taivas the way that other people do, and he was of a different, just a different ilk, a different type of everybody else. People that are born through taiva have taiva within them. He wasn't born with that, so it made it a little bit differently. The Zohar says the following maisa. The Zohar says that before Yirmiyahu emerged from his mother's womb, he called out loud and he said, "Father, Father, I will not come out from the womb until you call me by my name." So he said, "Avram?" He said, "No." "Yitzchak?" "No." "Yaakov?" "No." And Leonavi appeared and said, "Your name will be Yirmiyahu." That's what he told him. Yirmiyahu, I should say. Right? So that's what it means. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. In other words, you were already set beforehand. Right? And that is also the reason why Yirmiyahu and Yirmiyahu is used throughout. His real name was Yirmiyahu. Not with the vav. The real name was Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu comes from Yirmiyahu Hu. That was how Eliyahu named him. Eliyahu named him as Yirmiyahu. So we call it Yirmiyahu. Now that doesn't explain the others, like Yeshayahu, which we'll see, Chizkiyahu, which we saw, even though it's Chizkiyah and Yeshayah.
Yeshayah.
Right, but this method of where Eliyahu and Avi said Yirmiyahu is how we have Yirmiyahu. That medrash doesn't exist by the other people. That's what we're saying. We don't have that. But it is a very strange medrash. But you should know, by the way, if Yirmiyah had a son by the name of a grandson by the name of Ben Sira, Ben Sira is one that's mentioned throughout Gemara. As we say that his sefer is considered a waste of time and not considered Torah. If Ben Sira is Yirmiyah, there's a lot of connections. Sira is the gematria of Yirmiyah, right? That's Ben Sira as the son of Yirmiyah. We'll talk about it maybe as we'll go on, right? But if that was his son slash grandson, right? If that was it, then Ben Sira was born the same way the Medrash brings down in the Otsur Medrashim that Ben Sira said, "I will not come out until you name me," and then he called him Ben Yirmiyah, and that's when he came out. That was the way that he came out. So it's a very interesting little thing. Either way, regardless, we all know that he was definitely, although there are people that transform their character and become greater as time goes on, Yirmiyah was a person who had that virtue, everything good, all the way from the womb, and that's what he was like when it came over there. Okay, that's that. Alternatively, you could say that this is not the best time for growing Nevi'im. This is not a time where the people were kadosh enough to be able to deserve Nevi'im. Nonetheless, Yirmiyah was perfect to become one. And I said, aha, Hashem Elokim. Whoa, Hashem, my Lord. I have no idea how to speak. I can't be able to do such things. I'm a little kid. He was either 13 or 14 years old at the time, according to the Medrash, when he started to prophesy over here.
Not an Arika.
I'm sorry?
Not technically Arika.
What do you mean? Because Nahr is considered under the age of 12?
Yeah.
So we do say that the word Nahr is referring to a lad, a young lad. However, as my son just said to me today as we're going through the Parsha, Daddy, why is Eliezer, we all know that the two people who went with Avraham Avinu, who are known as Ne'arav, are Yishmael and Eliezer. Yishmael was 51 years old at the time of the Akedah. Why is he known as a Nahr? Yitzchak himself was 37 years old, and yet he's known as a Nahr. How could that be a Nahr? They're not young boys. Somehow that word Nahr must mean that it's a shamish of some sort. A person who's serving somebody else, and that's the idea behind it. That's what it refers to over here. That is that. Okay. Now, Yomar Hashem Eli, Hashem says to me, Tomar Nahr Anochi, do not say that you're a little, you know, that I'm a young boy. Whatever I will send you, yeah, this is it. Listen to me, son. Whatever I send you to go do, you do. Whatever I command you to say, you are going to say. Now, that's the idea behind it. Yes, it's going to be hard. You're a 14, 15-year-old kid trying to give rebuke to the kings and the generals and the main people of the nation. Of course it's going to be hard. Who's going to take what you say? Now, it happens to be the way that Yoshio was very young at the time as well. Yoshio was only 21, 22 years old at the time. In his 13th year, he became king at a very young age. Like, so he was extremely young. Nonetheless, who's going to take this guy's word seriously, right? Who's going to be able to take them out? Yeah.
I don't want to... The story. I don't even remember, but did the Navi mention that he looked older than he was?
No, nothing like that. It's not like a Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah deal. Yeah, it's not like, you know, like all of a sudden he turned 70. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's not about you. It's going to be the words in your mouth that are going to penetrate
what
the heart.
What protected these?
They're going to realize. They are mamish going to realize.
What protected him? I mean, was there like, they just knew that he was a Navi, like, don't touch him?
No, they didn't. You're going to see. Many people tried to kill Yirmiyah, but he was never killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, although they're going to do stuff to you, you're going to be thrown in a pit, you're going to be screaming that people are going to hit you. In fact, some even made him do terrible things. Nonetheless, you will never be killed. That was the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's exactly what happened. That's what's going to be over here. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. Don't worry, I'm going to take it. It's the worst job. No, that's why Yirmiyah didn't want it. Yirmiyah said, I don't want it. I don't want to do this. Don't be afraid of them. I will save you. And that's the line. I will never let you be killed. You will not be killed no matter what. They're not going to succeed in anything they do to try to kill you. Now, to hurt you, that's possible. But they will never kill you, and you never have to worry about that. Pasuk says, Hashem is Yadu. Hashem put out his hand, Vayaga al pi, and touched his mouth. Now, clearly, this is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The anthropomorphism that we apply to a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not apply over here. In other words, we do not assume that that Moshe Rabbeinu has that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a real hand that touched Yirmiyah. This is a Malach that took the place of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and seemed to put something into Yirmiyah's mouth. In other words, the words in Yirmiyah's mouth.
Yes. Be a figure of speech. Why does it be a mouth?
malach. Would it be like Hashem touched his mouth?
You're right. That's the other way of looking at it. If you want to take it literally, then a malach put it in his mouth. If you want to take it figuratively and say it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, that's the way to be able to do it. That's the idea behind it.
His Pashat has a lot of mentors to it.
Hashem said to me, behold, I have put these words in your mouth. Now, you will know. It's implanted, so to speak. It's almost like a chip, like a computer chip that's in your brain. Everything you need to know is there. You have any information that you need, it's right there in front of you. You shouldn't have any problems now. I have appointed you today upon all the nations, and all the kingdoms. Lintosh, Valintos, Lahavid, Valharos, Livnos, Valintoa. Okay, the first thing I want you to do, I want you to, number one, uproot, destroy, totally make lost, and raise down, but also to build and to plant. There's going to be more bad than good, there's no question, two times more. Four expressions of destruction, well, two expressions of something that's good. There's going to be more bad than good during your time. You're going to be speaking way more bad than it is good. In fact, if you look at it, possibly you could look at the kings that he prophesied during the times of, and you could look at it that way. That Yehoyachin, Yehoyakim, Yehoachaz were all evil. Sidki and Yosha were both good. Maybe you could look at Nebuchadnezzar being a fourth king that was evil, and he prophesied during those times, four bad kings, two good kings. Maybe you could look at it that way. Of course, I am assuming that Sidkiyo is considered a good king, which is a big machlokus in and of itself. He definitely did. Vayasa Rabbi and Hashem. He was the king that during his time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So there's no question that he definitely did evil. Either way, the point is that at the end of the day there will be good. Even though you're prophesying about evil, 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 bad, 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 the basement is going to be destroyed. In the end, things are going to be okay. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he said, a mashal. A king was once angry at his son, expelled him from the palace. He swore that he would never allow him to enter it ever again. The king then razed the entire palace and then rebuilt it, explaining that by this act, if the son would ever do tshuva, he'd be allowed to go into the palace, because the original palace he swore he would never go into. This palace he had never sworn that he wouldn't go into. That's the idea behind it, so he could still abide by his oath. And that's the idea of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing over here, and that's the idea of what we're trying to say. I'm going to uproot and demolish it so that you can come back. That's that. The word of God came to me saying, now this seems to be the same nevuah, meaning not a different nevuah, different times. Seems to be the same time. What do you see, Yirmiyahu? Now we see this concept which is going to take huge precedence in Yechezkel. We did not see this type of nevuah by Yeshaya. By Yeshaya we did not see this type of nevuah, this method of nevuah of seeing something and prophesying what it is that he saw. We're going to see it a little bit by Yirmiyahu, much more so by Yechezkel. Says the following, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? I see a stick of almond wood. Okay, that's what it's going to be. Now, the almond wood, the reason why it's used is the following. An almond grows in 21 days. That is the blossoming of an almond tree from when it starts to grow, when the sap comes into when the almonds actually grow. It is a very, very quick growing tree. 21 days are the amount of days of between Shiva Asa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, that it's going to be very quick, the final destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and when they're totally gone. That's going to be what's going to happen, and it's a reference, a remez to the calamities that are going to happen to Bnei Yisrael. But notice,
a positive thing.
I'm sorry?
Aren't almonds considered like a positive thing? Aren't almonds good for Torah or something? I thought there was something good with an almond.
Every fruit and everything has the ability to be good and to be bad at the same time. In this case, I'm guessing we're using it for bad because that's what it's a reference to, right? But nonetheless, of course, there must be an almond that's good. Maybe, I don't remember. Maybe there's a Gemara that says that way in Brachos. I don't remember if you see Shkedim in a dream. I don't remember what it is. It might be around Nundalit. I don't remember that. But at the end of the day, you have to know something over here. This Makol Shaked was not a branch with almonds growing on it. It was very good. That is one opinion of the Gemara. However, it's a makil that lost all of its almonds. So all he saw was a stick. And look at how he worded it. What he could have said is, it's a staff that's used to beat up people. That's what he could have said. He could have said that it was a rod of destruction. Or he could have said, he could have focused on the bad and said, oh wow, it's a rod that lost all of its root. But he didn't. He said, makil shukid aniroa, I see an almond staff. And that was a good thing, as we'll see. But Yomar Shemilai, hey, you saw it good. I am hastening to carry out my word. And that's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Saul who said to him, that's good. That means you wouldn't have seen, somebody like us, if we would have seen that, we would not have said what Jeremiah said. We would have assumed that it meant destruction, evil, whatever it is. And Jeremiah was trying to see the good even in the bad that's right over there. Now, some say this is a reference to the staff of Aaron HaKohen that had almonds that was stuck into the Kodesh HaKodesh. Remember, after Korach and everybody argued, everybody put their staff inside the Kodesh HaKodesh, and the next day Aaron's staff had almonds growing from it. Some say that this is a reference to Aaron's staff, that they would not be lost forever, just like the staff of Aaron re-sprouted with almonds, so too Bnei Yisrael will sprout again. That's another way of looking at it over here.
This Nebuah is very interestingly worded of, what do you see? Well, Hashem's like talking to him, what do you see? And then he tells him, he says, oh, good job. Like, it's a very
strange. I said, that is the way we're going to see. It's going to be very few in number by Yirmiyah. We're going to see it all the time by Yechezkel. The type of Nebuah is, tell me what you see, figure it out on your own. That's going to be, and the Navi gets to, so to speak, translate the dream, the Nebuah that he's seeing, into something that he's going to tell over to the people, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows it to be in his words. That's going to be the type of Nebuah that we have. Now, we have to see, the third type of explanation. Yeah, we're going to see that from you. Even though he's clearly saying terrible things, yes, he was an optimist. We're going to show also that there is going to be a benevolent side to the entire Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. Although the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the people would survive, and that's going to be over there, and that's what's going to be. Here we have another muscle. A man's wife died, and a match was made between him and a widow who ran a business and had many debts. Said the man, before I marry her, it would be best to be patient and let her first pay off all of her debts. I want to make her pay off first. So he sat back and he waited. The time went by. The affairs dragged on. The woman still hadn't paid off all of her debts. So the man decided the time had come to intervene. So he speeded up the matters. He approached the creditors one by one and gave them each advice how to expedite the woman's repayments more efficiently. Right? You can get it if you take this. You can get it if you take that. Just go up to her and ask for this. Ask for that. The woman, hearing the man's meddling in her affairs, was justifiably upset. If that's the way you treat me now, what's going to be later when we get married? That's what she asked him. She replied, the man, on the contrary, I did it in your best interest. Don't you see? My entire purpose in intruding was only to get rid of your debts as quickly as possible so that we could get married so much sooner. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, the only way for us to survive here, for you to succeed, is if I get rid of the Beis HaMikdash, and if I cause the destruction of people leaving Eretz Yisrael through that gullus, through that kapara, through everything that happens, you will be able to come back even quicker. I can make it happen in 70 years. That was the benevolent side of what it is. Okay, that is that. There's a couple others over here. There's a lot of, there might have been that it's a personal message for Jeremiah himself, even though he was young and immature. Don't worry, he will grow and blossom like an almond tree very, very quickly. It could be also that it was also a symbolic allusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready right now to punish Bnei Yisrael, that he wanted to punish them right at that moment, but he's pushing it off just a little bit, and that's what it's supposed to be over here. Okay. Ma'idavar Shem Elai Shenis. The word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me a second time, Lamor, saying the following. Mothero, what do you see again? Mo'amar sir nafuach ani roeh. I see a boiling pot, the panav pnei sono, and it's facing toward the north. Now, we all know, right, that the north is where all of our evil came from. Evil comes from Babel, even though technically Babel is northeast, and more east than it is north. Nonetheless, the way that the Babylonians came to Eretz Yisrael was up from the north. They couldn't travel through the desert areas, so they traveled through the mountainous regions, through Iraq, down to Syria, down Lebanon, straight down to us. So it's as if it came from the north. That's the idea behind it. That's the idea of what we're supposed to be. Some say to you, Shalayim is a reference to the pot over here. That this pot that we're talking about, in which things are being cooked in and etc., is referring to Shalayim being boiled over. It's going to be there. Either way, Vayom HaShem Eloi, Mitzapon Tiposach HaRo'on, Akol Yoshei Aretz, from the north will break forth that evil on all the people of the land, and that's what it refers to from Bavel. They do say that La'asid Lavo, the evil that will come to Eretz Yisrael, will come from the north. That's what they have over there. So not from Palestine, not from Gaza, right, or any of those people, but from the north will be the worst evil that the Bnei Yisrael have to deal with. I doubt that's Lebanon also. I would assume it's Hezbollah, Turkey, Russia, etc. But hopefully it won't have to happen and we don't have to worry about it. Let's just assume Egypt's southeast, the southwest. Can't do that. Can't, too far off.
It's in North Africa.
Nobody cares about Africa. Okay, that's that. But I will say, is a famous line as well. The Pharisee Onesan brings down a Zohar. But that means that the northern side of the world was never completely made. It was always left wide open, and that all evil comes from that openness, that Rosh Hashanah is, so to speak, that all Tuma comes from the north.
What
does that mean exactly? Rav Yonason explains, although I can't tell you it's fully explained. Wait, he says the most unbelievable thing. What? He says the following. He says that every continent in the world is surrounded by water on all four sides. You have water on all four sides that's protecting every part. Okay? So meaning, there's all these lands that are surrounded by some type of a wall, so to speak, something that protects them. There's one area of the world where the water and the land mix, and that you can't really see the difference between them because it becomes like an ice, so it's as if it's never ending. Never ending as if it's going in, and that is a place where evil can come in. It's as if there's no barriers, no borders, it's wide open. That's the North Pole. He calls that the North Pole. Now, I don't know why it's not the South Pole. I know. I don't quite get what the difference is. I don't quite get what he's saying with
every continent.
What?
Whether every continent. North America, Russia.
Yes. Like, but the North, meaning the North Pole, which is just ice, water, etc., there's nothing there.
So it's like a mixture of water.
It's everything all together. But I don't quite get what he's saying. All I'm saying is
warming is according to that. But then there's no more evil.
And no, then it'll go on top and destroy all the evil. That's what's going to happen. Pasuk Tes Vav. Kini kori l'kol mishpachos mam l'chos tzafon. I will call out to all the families of all the kingdoms in the north. They will come. They'll bring their seats up by the gate of Yerushalayim. They'll call from us and on all of its walls, Saviv, all around. Against all the cities of Judah. Many kings will come along. By the way, that also can be a chesed. When you have many kings around, each one wants their part, that means that there's going to be a lot of infighting between them. If it's one king coming in, they have a definite plan of how they want to go through whatever it is, and people will be decimated. When there's many kings, they each want their own part, they each want their own slaves. More people will survive when there's more kings involved. I will speak my judgments together with them. I'll call Ross Mashar Zabuni, and all the evil that they had forsaken me, that they had burned incense to other gods, and they bowed down to their own idols. I want you to gird your loins, and I want you to get up, and I want you to speak to them, everything that I command you. Don't be afraid of anyone you meet. Maybe, right, if you are afraid, then I will allow you to be afraid. That's an interesting little thing. If you continue to believe that I will take care of you, I will take care of you. If you have any fear of anyone out there, then I will fester that fear. I will allow you to be more and more and more afraid, and you won't be able to get over, and that type will be there. I want you to be willing to be Moser Nefesh. Go out and be willing to die, and then you won't die. But if at any point you're afraid to die and you try running away, then you'll die, and you'll be killed. That's what's going to be said to Yirmiyah. Again, this is not a normal person that you can ask this of. You can't ask this to normal people.
Negotiating position here or not really?
No, it's God.
I have a question. So why he's born this? He's basically a mouse.
No,
he's not a human being.
He's a human being. He has to eat. He has to drink. He's always married.
He's like a mouse that's in a human body. He's born a prophet. He has like a certain destiny. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He doesn't really have much of a choice.
He can choose not to. He just didn't.
Is there a no?
Yeah, he could choose not to. He could get up one day and say like, I'm out, and then he'd be killed, and he'd be done. That would be it.
It seems like a really fair deal.
Kind of.
Well, everybody has that deal. When you fulfill your mission in life, that. If you can't, then you don't.
But you just said that.
Yeah.
You would have said, I'm out. You would have died. But then that isn't good.
Let's not call it die immediately. He would have lived a life which was a living death in this world, because he was there for a purpose. If you didn't fulfill your purpose, you don't belong here.
At least somebody's not fulfilling their purpose in life. And that can go for anybody, just he knew it because God told him he knew your purpose.
Not all of us are privy to that idea. Yeah. I don't think I would. I wouldn't want to know. I wouldn't want to know what I have to do. No, I would hate to know it. If I knew it, I'd be so upset that I wasn't able to fulfill it. My depression would be tremendous. You kidding me? That's what you want from me? I can't do that. There's no way. And a coach will say, well, if you wouldn't have known, you would have been able to do it. Had you not known it,
you would have been fine with it. But now that you know it, you feel like it's an impossible task.
I'd like to know my purpose is. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, it's to be here right now. Now, posing your chas. Vani ani nesaticha yom. Call me a navi. Vani hinei nesaticha yom le'ir mitzor. So I today, I have made you into a fortified city. I mean, I am protecting you. Right? La'amud barzol is an iron pillar. La'chomas la'choshes is in walls of copper. Al kolores and all the lands of Malki Yudu L'Sorel by all the kings of Yudah for all of its officers. La'kohanef for its kohanim la'am arutz and all the people of the land. You are going to take care of. You are going from the top down, from the kings all the way down to the Ami Aratzim. I'm going to help you. I'm going to enhance the public awareness of what you have, but nonetheless, you are going to have to do it yourself. That's the idea behind it. They are going to wage war against you, but they will not prevail against you. I am with you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to save you. So you got to withstand everybody. Just know, I'm warning you now what's going to happen. Do not come up to me 20 years later and say to me, I never knew this was going to be. I'm telling you, it's going to be Gehenna. You're going to be, it's going to be terrible for you, but you will survive. You'll be fine. Just trust me. It's going to be the best for everybody.
I really don't see like the upside for him.
Hmm? The upside?
Yeah. It's
are you kidding me?
Regardless.
He's doing good.
So it will help.
I want you to think about that for a question for a second. Where is the upside of somebody doing God's will after he tells them this is what I want you to do? Where is the upside there? That's the idea behind it. I think you might be able to know that. No. I have paper towels right here.
I'm saying it's like it's going to be a living hell. Like if he does what Hashem tells him, he suffers. If he doesn't do what Hashem tells him, he suffers. Like it's not really a good deal.
He suffers worse and he won't get his Olam Haba. The answer is Olam Haba. That is the answer. He is not wanting for anything right now. Sitting there and saying, I'm pretty good. Thank you. Standing good, sitting up right by the Kisei HaKavod, like right on the right side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's like looking down. He's like, David, I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm good. All right. Tarek Beis Pasagal. Lidavar Shamilai Lamor. The word of God came to me saying the following. Again, despite the efforts to try to boost Yirmiyah's spirit up, which obviously was doing tremendously well and making him an optimist beyond belief, nonetheless, obviously, he was still uncomfortable. So the first message that Yirmiyah was to deliver to the people was going to be a message of unconditional love. That it's going to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of them no matter what. And then he's going to show him as well as us how you give musar to people. You can't just go up to him and be like, you're evil. You can't do that. People don't listen. You have to say like, I like you so much. You're such a great guy and you stink. That's the way to be able to do it, because if you do it in any other way, right, there's no way the guy's going to listen to you. I like the first way a lot better, and as mashgiach I try to do it as much as possible. And just yell, and never say anything good. Once in a while, you got to throw in a little good. Everyone loves it. Yeah.
To make friends.
And that is true.
I understand, but he wants people to be friends with God. But if somebody hears that from him, they're going to be friends with God. They're like, I don't need this, that, other. I'm out.
It's their own fault.
If you do the love, it negates everything you said before, and then it's like.
Listen, I can go the Mark Trussman route and just be like, everybody can do whatever they want. I could do that also. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's that. And all of a sudden.
The yamin, the dog has a small, right?
No, there is no yamin. So anyway, so that's that. Obviously, I'm kidding. This is the way that Yirmiyah wanted people to learn how to give muster, and it worked, obviously, even though at the end of the day, everybody hated Yirmiyah. Pasuk Beis. Alof across the walls of Yerushalayim. I want you to go out and call in the ears of Yerushalayim Lema. Call Hashem. So says God, and you all know this nebuah, Zachati lo chesed nuraich. I remember the chesed of your youth, O Bnei Yisrael. Avas klulosayich, your love when you were my bride. Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretzol zruah. You came after me into the desert in a land that was not sown, that was never planted whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I remember what it was like for you. I remember when you followed me, when you knew you had no idea what was going on. You could have lived in a land of Mitzrayim where the Egyptians were totally gone, where the Egyptians were now scared to death of you. You could have stayed there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, we're going to a different land. And you left your homes, you left all of your possessions, you left all of your riches, although they took certain things out with them. You left most of your things there, and you followed me into a desert with no food, no water, no nothing. You got matzah on your shoulder. You were willing to go out like that. I remember that, Chesed. I remember that you left without complaining at all. Now, on the one hand, everybody would say, like, well, they're not slaves anymore, right? They did not complain until after Mara, when they didn't have any food or water, that waited until Chesed of here. But now they're living in a land where the Egyptians were gone. They were gone. They just killed every firstborn in all Mitzrayim.
But again, it's not a choice. There's no choice there. It's like they just saw these miracles.
Some of them stayed. Dasan and Aviram stayed.
Yeah.
And they didn't die. They were with Paro, and they only followed later on. They did not die. So yes, there were some people who God knew would not deserve to go out and not deserve to be on Har Sinai. But Dustin Abiram stated, it's Yonis and Menuziel and Parsif Bishalat, but Omar Paro Livnei Yisrael, says the Yonis and Menuziel, Lid Dustin Ulea Abiram. So you do have people that did stay in Eretz Yisrael and did not die. Okay, so that's that. Hello, Carossa. It's a good question. Go 3 years ago to what I said in Parsha B'Shalach, I have seven answers. Hello, I'm pushing from my website again. I'm just saying. It's right there. That's that.
Is it Rabbi Zim?
Rabbi Zvi Zimmerman.com with a Z. Z-V-I. That's good. Okay? There you go. Hello, B'Karasa Vazirzan. That's what we end up saying. So this is the famous line, and we do say this, by the way. This is one of the Zichronos on Rosh Hashanah. It's one of the Zichronos that we say on Rosh Hashanah. That is that. Okay. We then say, Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem. B'nai Yisrael, holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Reishis Tvoso, we are the first of the produce of Hashem. Kol Oklav Yasham, all that devour him, meaning B'nai Yisrael, will be guilty if anybody consumes B'nai Yisrael. Right? Ra Tavo Aleim Num Hashem. Evil will come upon them, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if they go ahead and do that, that's going to be, we are the Bikurim. We're the first fruits. We are the fruits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to keep the most special of all, and therefore if anything happens, that's that. Okay, that was the end of all the good. Pretty good, right? We got two psukim in of good stuff, and now we go. Listen to the word of God, Beis Yaakov, and all of the families of Bnei Yisrael. This is referring to all of them, even the 10 tribes that were earlier exiled. Kol Hashem. This is what God says. What did your fathers find wrong with me? That they have strayed far away from me. They've gone after garbage, and they've made themselves absolutely worthless. They've gone to Baal. What did I do, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that allowed them to go off so badly? They started it, so to speak, not me. What did I do that allowed them to think that they have to go to Babylon? They did not say, where is God? Amalo son of Mary, who brought us out from Egypt. Amalo son of Mary, who brings us through the desert, Be'eretz Arava, through a land of wilderness, Mishuka, and deserts, I should say, of droughts, I should say. Be'eretz Sea, in a land where there's thirst, it's all mavis in the shadow of death. Be'eretz Lo'ab, or Ba'ish, in a land that nobody ever went through, and nobody ever lived there. They don't say that. The person, the one that brought you to the land of Carmel, to a land of plenty. Tea from its fruit and from its good, and what did you do? You came into my land and you defiled it. And you allowed my inheritance to become an abomination to everybody. That's what you did. Even the Kohanim among you, even the priests, even the ones in charge, did not say, where is God? Those who grabbed on the Torah, they didn't know me. They learned Torah as an intellectual pursuit, but not because it actually meant anything to them or connect them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The leaders, the rulers, all sinned against me. The prophets, they went over to the Baal. They went after those things that would not help anything whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. And the Kohanim are first flames. They're the people who are in charge, who were able to give a connection, a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Korbanos and all the miracles of the first base of Mikdash. How could the Kohanim not have shown the people all of these miracles that they themselves saw? The miracles of the smokestack going straight up to shrine, the fact that there were never any flies there, the fact that there was no Shechaz Zera on Yom Kippur night for the Kohen Gadol, all these miracles that are mentioned in Yuma, how could they never tell them over and go through? Then, how could they study the Torah superficially and not be willing to teach it to the people and allow the people to understand from it what their responsibilities and jobs are? They should have influenced people just by simply being coming to Chachamim, but they did nothing. Why didn't they get involved? And then kings and officers, people that were supposed to administer, people that were supposed to be in charge and make sure the people did the right thing, even they didn't get involved in things like that. And of course, the false prophets themselves.
Now wait, right, the Hanavi, meaning the prophets, meaning the religious prophets, need to
went off.
Well, that makes no sense. Oh, God, hang on a second. I got a phone call from Baal.
Remember, there were schools of prophets that were all around who learned how to be able to prophesy the entire way through. Some of them were fed up with not getting a nevuah after a long time, and they said, forget it, we'll just go to Baal, where they felt that they were getting prophecies whenever they wanted to. It was an easier living and a very easy way to go.
No. If they were feeling prophecies, though, why couldn't they feel a prophecy from God? I mean, if it was fake, then
God wasn't giving them one.
No, but from the Baal, they were getting a feeling. So why couldn't that same feeling be imply like, oh, you're God told you.
You're right. It was harder. Yeah, it was harder. They couldn't get it.
I get it. I get it. But I'm saying, instead of being a Navi of a Baal, be a Navi Shaker of God. Then maybe it's more ability. Like, guys, God told me to do this. Don't say Baal told me to do this. God told me to do this.
This is a little known thing that's mentioned by the Rambam. When a Navi got a Nevuah, he not only got the Nevuah, especially when he had to go to the left of Klal Yisrael, he got a Nevuah, and other Nevi'im around him also experienced part of the Nevuah. That's one of the ways that all the Nevi'im knew that this guy was telling the truth. That there was something. It was as if, so to speak, right? So other people knew. You could not make up a prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'd be immediately killed because the other Nevi'im would say, you have no idea what you're talking about. There were always false prophets, and they were either killed or they were prophesying from something else.
Wasn't there a,
not
prophesying. He was a false prophet. He kept saying, guys, no, God told me everything's fine.
We're going to see.
Right.
Sitkiah ben Kenana, etc. Right? Those people are going to be around. And eventually, people caught on to them, or he had enough cronies who were with him who said, yeah, we also heard that Nebuah. He was able to fool enough people into thinking that he was legit. Right? There were people like that. Plus, you got to remember how. We don't know. The honest truth is, we don't know. We don't know how popular Baal was at the time. But there were people who legitimately thought that that was an avoda, a way of serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sure there were machlokes. Yeah, I'm sure there were machlokes where people said, well, shituf is mutter. Shituf is mutter. I'm still believing in God. I'm just allowing this to be my other way of doing it. There were for sure people who said that. Torah doesn't say I can't represent God through Baal. Baal will be my representation. What's the problem? There were for sure people that did that. They were just lying to themselves, and they knew it. They knew they were wrong. They're just people like that. So I can't tell it for sure, but I think that's the pshat. Pasuk test. Therefore, I'm going to continue to fight with you, says God. That's b'nei b'neichem ariv. I'm going to do it with your grandchildren as well. If they won't stop, I'm going to do it with everyone. Ki ivri yekitim ru'u. I want you to pass by to the lands of the Kitim. Okay, and I want you to see what they do. To Kedar shoku v'zboninu. Go send messages to Kedar and go understand what they do. Ma'od. And I want you to understand it very well. Ru'u hein ha'isa kazos. Go see if ever this thing has ever happened. Kedar and the Kitim believed in fire and water, respectively. That was their gods. Even though they knew that water can put out fire and fire can put out water, if you have a big enough fire, you have evaporation of water. Nonetheless, they held by their gods, even when they saw that their god was not so strong. Even when people disproved them and said, see what water can do to fire? Your fire is not a god. Nonetheless, they said, it is still our god. They were willing to hold on to their gods, even when it seemed clear that their gods were garbage. And you guys are trading the only real god for these garbage gods that are held by Kedar and by the Kitim? That's ridiculous. Ha'emer goy Elohim, have you ever seen a nation trade in their gods? Ha'emer lo Elohim, they're worshipping things that aren't even gods. Ha'emer kvodo v'lo yoyil. And my people are trading away the honor of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with something that is absolutely no shaykes whatsoever. This was a direct rebuke that Yirmiyah said, according to Gemara, that they were going to non-Jewish courts and taking their laws over the Torah laws and saying that they made more sense and we'd rather learn them than anything else. No offense to the lawyers out there. Yeah.
Where do you get that?
This is from the Gemara.
What part of the pasuk?
From Hahemir Goy Elohim, the Hema Lo Elohim, the Ami Hemir Kvodo, the Lo Yiro. They're trading in their kavod, their own kavod of their own Bati Dinin, for something that will never help. That's the idea behind it. Shomu Shamayim Alzos, the heavens are shocked by this. Saru Korbu Ma'od Numashem. They are terrified and they're appalled, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is appalled. Kishtaim Rosas Ami, there are two evils that my people have committed. Osi Azbu, Mekor Mayim Chayim, they have forsaken me, the source of all living waters, the source of everything. Lasavlam Boros Nishmar Mashallah Chilumayim, and they have hewn pits, broken pits, that have no ability to even hold water. So number one, they broke the cistern that held their own water. And then they made stupid cisterns that have holes in them that have no ability. So it's one thing that they traded me in. Okay, it's another thing that they then took on of Avodah Zarah. I would tell you, if I was reading this pasuk, I would tell you. So it's bad to leave God and become an atheist. It's worse to worship Avodah Zarah. When the actual opposite is true, what Elchanan Wasserman brings down, that atheism, not believing in God, is worse than believing in the wrong God. That's how Rabbi Elchanan puts it down.
To Christianity or another religion that has some sort of, they have like an ethical system or something like that. They're talking about people who are going to the Baal.
He says, Ovdei Avodah Zarah.
Wait, I know
it's one of the first pieces of Rabbi Elchanan. One of the first piece of Rabbi talking about Kovitz Mavar.
Yeah.
The Elephant, okay, Hashem is the first.
Uh-huh.
So you have to know that there's a God.
Yeah.
So you're saying that if you don't do that, it's worse than Lo Yelachon.
I don't know if atheism falls under that category or in the category of Lo Yeh Elohim Acherim Al Panai. I don't know which one it is.
Why would it be
atheism?
Elohim
Acherim is your own personal God. In other words, you think of yourself as God as opposed to anything else. We have something else. We looked up, what do we look up today? Reconstructionist Judaism. To see what they believe in. They believe that God is a composite of all the good in the world and everything else. There is no God, Chas V'Shalom. There is a God that we all have within us and whatever it is.
Is,
I don't even know what that is. Well, what do they do?
Like, they're atheists.
Completely.
Like, there is no God.
Apparently, reconstructionists are also, yeah.
No, there's an element of truth to what they're saying.
Yeah. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing.
They get together and they're like, shoals and talk about, I don't know, being nice or something.
That's it. Do they pray? That was our question. The reconstructionists have a sit.
They have their shul in,
I think California. Shoal. Temple.
I don't know what the, I don't know. I haven't read much about, like, I know a little bit more about reforming and conservatives.
Yeah, they have Sidurim, though. They believe in God. But these guys don't believe in God, so what do they have? It is a magazine. Yeah, it is a magazine.
Right.
I just like the Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. Yeah, they have that. That's great. That's tremendous. And they're sitting up there and saying no. All right, Annie, Blessed Yud Gimel. That is the idea behind it. Now, another thing is that this is not only referring to Avodah Zarah. It's also referring to going to the other nations and asking them for help. You're asking Ashur. You're asking Mitzrayim to back you up. That's not happening. Blessed Yud Dalet. Avodah Zarah. Im Yilid Bayesu. Is B'nai Israel a servant to others? Are they a homegrown slave? Maduya Lavaz, why in the world are you allowing yourselves to be such a bizarre in the eyes of the nations that you need help for others? You are the only nation. You're the only ones that people should go to. All of Yishagu Kfirin, the lion cubs roared upon him. In other words, referring to the Avodah Zarah kings. Alav Yishagu, they're going to roar against him. Kfirim Nasnu Kolom, they're going to let out their voices. The Ashisu Arto Lishama, and they're going to make the land waste. Arav Nitsu Mibli Yoshev, they destroyed all of those cities without anybody inhabiting them. And that was what happened to the 10 tribes. Gabnei Nof, Misach Panches, Yeruch Kakod. All the people of Mitzrayim, Nof and Sach Panches, are both cities in Egypt. They're going to break down your heads. Referring to what happened by Yoshia. Yoshia was killed by the Egyptians. He was the one that was killed by the Egyptians, and the Egyptians came through. Halazos Tasamach, right? Have you not done this to yourself? Azvechas Hashem Elokai, you have forsaken your own God, the Ismalichi Badarach, who led you on the way the entire way through. How can you forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'ata Malach L'Darach Mitzrayim. L'Shos Mei Shichor. Why in the world are you going on the path of Mitzrayim to go drink from the waters of the Nile River? Malach L'Darach Ashur L'Shos Mei Nar. Why are you going up to the Syria to go drink from the water of the Euphrates up there? T'yas Reich Ra'al Seif, your own wickedness is going to knock you down. M'shuvo Sayich Tokichuch, and your backsliding is going to be your own Musar. Udiriki Rav Amar Ozvecha Hashem Elokai. It is evil and bitter for you to forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Pachadet L'Pachdosi Alayich. And my fear is not in you, Numashem Elokim Zuakos. And the fact that you're not even afraid of me anymore, I can't believe you're not even paying attention to it. Pasachof Kimi Olam Shavat Yuleich. I have always broken your yoke. Right, this is referring to the yoke of Mitzrayim. Right? I've taken you out of Egypt. Ninatki Mosrosayich. I went ahead and burst your ropes. What? Nitakti Mosrosayich. I knocked down all of your ropes. Atomri Loavor Kalkogi Vagabova Takzalit Swanon At Soa Zona. You declared, I am not going to sin. I'm not going to sin whatsoever because you just took me out, God. I will never sin ever again. And then every hill and every mountain throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, you guys have put up either an Avodah Zarah or a Zona. One of the two. Way to go, guys.
So this is still a continuation. He's like a teenager in front of all the elders of all Jerusalem sitting there like, God likes you, by the way. And then he's like doing this to them. And they're all sitting there taking it from him, or like, you can't interrupt a nebuah. He's really like in a trance.
It must be they couldn't interrupt the nebuah, but as soon as the nebuah stopped, I'm sure they went crazy. And Yirmiyah had to stay there and not be afraid of a single person. I can think like all the spears like going around him in a little circle, like bullets just missing, so to speak, you know, arrows just missing him or whatever, like getting him in like the cloak and like around that, you know. But he's not touched.
No, when he gets the Nevuah, is he getting a Nevuah when he's standing in front of them? Or is he, did he get the Nevuah from God? He took notes, goes to them, and is like telling them in his own words, meaning he sounds like I'm talking to you instead of in a trance.
That was the difference. He sounds like God is talking through him, but he was not in a trance, and the Nevuah happened before him. This Nevuah was not in Yoshia's palace room. This is not in Yoshia's palace room. He got this before him, and then he translated it in front of Yoshia and told them in his own words.
That's not, I mean, nothing's done as a press, but the people watching it, they don't feel like, oh, this guy's getting it from God. It's just like, oh.
But then it is Okiyahu's son.
Right.
And but he probably was known as a master Kamahara by that. But no, I would doubt somebody like that. First of all, we don't believe in a Nubi who just comes up the way. The Rambam has prerequisites to becoming a Nubi. He must have fulfilled all those prereqs. He must have already been in Nubi school. And it must have been that he was somehow known by the people itself.
He had to go
through whatever he needed to do. But you got to remember that way. There was no such thing as a guy who just randomly picked up one day and said, I'm a Nubi. People wouldn't accept him. There is no crazy guy at Tel Aviv Pizza. That was no problem. Shmuel Anavi went to Eli three times saying, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. He was not a guy until Eli told everyone, this guy is the real deal.
I remember he didn't go to Nubi school. I feel like that would be like Harvard. People, like, I don't want to go to Nubi school.
People flunked out. You're right. Everybody went. People flunked out. You went there for 10 years. You didn't get a single Nevuah. You know? That's like, you're gone. What are you going to do? You know? You didn't have anything. You might have gotten around, but like that doesn't count. You can imagine like after a while, like, I got that one too. Like that would have to happen. You'd have guys. But I'm sure that's why a lot of people were attracted by the Baal. They had all the concentration, the kavanos in place. They had all the abilities in place. They just never came out with a Nevuah. They must have been totally embarrassed. So to get something from the Baal was probably like, I finally got one. Granted, it's for a Bodhisattva, but I finally got one. They used their concentration, what's it called? Their meditation, to be able to get something, but it was done in the wrong way. I have planted you as a choice vine, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, referring to Bnei Yisrael. Zera emes, a true zera. How could you become a disgusting grapevine that is strange to me? You would, avos, like Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Now you're pieces of garbage. What's going on over here? What happens? King Tekhapsi ben Esther, Vesavid Loch Boris, if I wash you with soap, right, and I add on a little bit of detergent, Nichtam Obanech Lefanayim Hashem Elokim, your stain is still going to, your sins are still going to be a stain in front of me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's going to be very difficult for you to get rid of this stain and to do tshuva. Eich told me lo nitmeisi achrei balam. How could you say I'm not tamei after the balam? Lo nitmeisi, I'm not tamei achrei balam. I didn't go after the balam. I see you walking to the valley. The email says, I know what you did. You are a restless young she camel. And that is the worst of all insults, right? Who doubles back on her tracks, right? You're faking it the whole time. You're faking it and complaining. You're saying that I didn't do this, I didn't do that. You're a liar. Para limud midbor. You're like a wild donkey that's used to the desert. The avas nafsho shu'afa ruach ta'anoso. Right? It snuffs up the wind in her desire, like smells over here. It says, Mishi benakom avakshel. Who in her lust is going to turn her away? Lo yafu b'chotshim tzu'una. All that seeker are not going to weary themselves. In her month, they're going to find her. Now, that's the wine, so to speak. There's going to be zonas all over the place that are going to lead you in the wrong direction. That's the idea. Now, it does say over here, a wild horse is an example of an animal that does as it pleases, while a camel has a master. That's the difference between the two, and why we mentioned the camel before. Well, this is a wild horse. A wild horse in the wilderness or whatever. The camel still always says a little bit. People kept going a little bit further. What's up?
Peret
is a wild horse. Peret is a mule. With the dalet is a mule. Mini ragleich miyachit, you held your feet back from walking barefoot. Ugronech mitzimon, your throat from having thirst. Batomri, and you said, Noash, loy, there is no hope. Ki'avdi zorim achareim eleich, I have loved strangers, and after them, I'm going to go. You realize that you're going after people like Mitzrayim, and like Ashur, and like all those people that you think are your allies, and they're not going to help you at all.
This is only about a little bit too, meaning they have
to. It could be
everything's good.
it seems like it's fine.
And everything's working with the Zavod Azara, it just takes the ball.
Yeah, that could be. The line that Miam always brings down is that it's referring to Assyria and Egypt. Of course it could be. Kaboshes Ganov, like the thief is ashamed, Kiyamatsi, when he's found. Kano Vishav Yisrael, that's how B'nai Yisrael should feel. Hema Malchem Saram Kohanim and Nevi'im, them, their kings, their officers, their priests, and their Nevi'im, when they realize what they did wrong, Pasuk of Zayin, they go over to the wood and say, you're my daddy. They go to the stone and they say, you gave birth to me. And then they turn their neck to me, not their face. And when bad things happen, they call out to their stone and their stick and they call and they say, save us, save us. This is the lowest level that you're willing to rebel with the stupidest things in the world. Where are your gods that you've made for yourselves? Let them get up and they can save you. At that evil time. According to the number of your cities, that's how many gods you have, Yehuda. It's so dumb. Each one of you have a different one. Why are you fighting me, all of you? You have sinned against me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Pasuk Lamed. For naught I have hit your children, Musar, with some type of Musar. Musar lolakachu. They weren't able to take the Musar. Your own sword has devoured the Nevi'im, like a lion that destroys. Remember, Zechariah was killed, right? In the Beis HaMikdash, his blood boiled, and Yeshaya was killed by his own grandson, Menashe. Your prophets have been killed. How could you allow that to be? Hador Atem Re'u, Hador, O generation, Atem Re'u Dvar Hashem, you see the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midbar HaYisrael Yisrael. Have I been like a desert of Israel, an Eretz Mapelia, right? Have I been a land of absolute Mapelia, a land of darkness, of Ophel? Mador Mo'ami Radnu, why do my people say that we're free to do what we want? Lona Ba'odei Lecha, we're never going to come back to you ever again. How could it be that you're really justifying your Avodah Zarah by saying, right, that all the deprivation that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, it's going to be better when we go into Avodah Zarah? That's a crazy idea behind that. And Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying that I took care of you when you needed, I gave you the mud, and that's the hint over here. Hasishkach Besula Edyo, will a virgin ever forget her ornaments? Kalik Shurah, or a bride which she attired herself with? Ami Shechuni, my people have forgotten me completely. Yomim Amis, 4 days without number. That's, how in the world can you forget the mitzvos and the Torah, that's the ornaments and the attire that you have? How could you have done that? But you've forgotten everything. You forgot that you even had any of this stuff. Matetik Darkech, Levake Shavo. How long are you going, how good is it to direct your path toward love? Lachen Gamas Arose Limadito Esruachayev. Therefore, you have taught evil women all of your ways, and that's that. It goes to over here that there were three different groups over here, but let's go on. Lamed Dalit. Gambit Mafayek Nimtsudam. Also, in your clothing, in the folds of your clothing, we can find blood of the Nafshos of Yonim Nikiyim, the innocent poor people. Loba Machtaras Mitzasim Kial Kolela. You didn't find them in a tunnel. It wasn't like you were expecting them to come or you were worried about them, whatever. You are taking advantage of the poor and the people that are innocent and the people that cannot help themselves. You're taking advantage of them and killing them, and the blood is stained on your own hands. You're liars, you're cheaters, you're doing whatever you want with your money. But then you said, I'm innocent. Achshav apo mimeni. That's why you have to turn your wrath away from me. I am only judging you because you're saying that I'm not guilty. You're liars, and for that I'm getting you. If you would do tshuva, if you return the money, if you do that, then it's another thing. But for you guys to go ahead and do this and then say that I'm innocent, that I didn't do anything wrong, I can't believe it. Matizli ma'od. How have you cheapened yourself so much, l'shanas darkech, to change your ways? Gam mitzrayim tevoshi, you're more embarrassed than all of Egypt. Egypt isn't this bad. Kasher bosh me'ashur. Even Assyria isn't this bad. And even the people that are there, or because you're asking them for help. Gam me'es zeh tevi. You're going to go forth from him, right, like this. You're going to have your hands on your head. Ki mo'as Hashem b'mitzachai, because Hashem despises those who you have trusted in. Lo tzlichi lahem, it will not be matzliach for them. You're going to go out shaking your head, realizing, I can't believe, so disappointed that you relied on those people that weren't able to help you at all. That's your own problem. You should have known never to do such a thing. So that's the first Nebuah of Yirmiyah, and it is quite happy. Not always the best of messages, but nonetheless, saying to B'nai Yisrael, the basic idea is, how could you worship Avodah Zarah? How could you turn against me like that?